Looking at a passage today that it's a wonderful little passage. It has a great deal to teach us. It is one that you may look at and say, oh, I already know that one. I can quote that one. If there's any passage in all of Christendom that people can quote, it is John 3 and verse 16. You see it at ball games written across somebody's chest or across their forehead or, everywhere. And there's always some guy at the ball game, I guess he's still there, that has the blue and the green hair and all, and he's got John 3:16 on that. A wonderful passage. It's a passage that, you know, we need to study more often. Sometimes these passages that we think we know so well, we need to look at them a little bit better. And so we're going to talk today, really what we're going to talk about is the unconditional love of God. And we need to know that. Sometimes people kind of leave the impression that God has conditions on His love. I'll love you if you'll do that. Because you see, we're used to that in this world. We're used to people in the world saying, now if you really love me, you would do this or you would do that. Let me tell you something. If somebody says that to you, say, well, listen, I don't know whether I want to love you or not. Because God's love has no conditions. And we need to understand that. This is a wonderful passage, a short little passage. It is really just about one sentence. It contains, as far as the New King James, and according to what translation you use, it's going to be different. But the New King James, there's 25 words here that has such a great meaning for us to help us to see this and understand this. So I want you to look with me at this today. Now look at this. God's love. I want you to understand that. Because this thing of God's love is so great and so wonderful that many times we misunderstand it. We don't understand the love that God has for us. And sometimes people misunderstand it in the wrong way. And what we want to do today is to try to look at this a little bit more. But I'm going to tell you, there's no way that I can in one sermon really do justice to all of this little verse in the Bible. Because it has so much. And it means so much to us. Now, I got seven things. Half of you have already just died already. Linda's saying, don't do over three. You can't do three. I'm going to do seven today and get you out on time. Linda, check your watch and make sure it's working. Now look at this. I want you to see this. I want you to see the love of God and see that the love of God is really that unconditional thing. God doesn't put any conditions on that. In Romans, the 5th chapter, and verse 8, the Roman writer says, God commended His love toward us, or demonstrated His love toward us, in that He gave His Son. He gave His Son for those people that were in sin. Now, did you understand what that was saying? God didn't send His Son to die for righteous people, but He sent His Son to die for the unrighteous people. And let me tell you something, we didn't deserve it. We did not deserve it. In fact, if you look at John 1 and verse 10, it talks there about how that people hated God. You go over to John 15 and verse 18, I think it is. It talks there about how much people don't love God. God says, listen, they hated me, they'll hate you as Christians. And sometimes we look at it in a selfish way. Oh, they're going to hate me. Look, they hated God first. But here's God, who people hated, who people did not want to obey, who people were rebelling against, but He came and gave us His love. It's one thing to love people that love you. It's a totally different thing to love people that hate you. That takes a lot more. And so, please understand, I see some people that they honestly think that Jesus Christ came only for the righteous. First of all, there were no righteous. Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if He was going to come just for the righteous, He wouldn't have come at all. But He came for the unrighteous. He came for the sinner. He came for the person that is called the world. Now when we talk about the world, we're talking about people who don't love God, who are willing to hate others, who are willing to treat others in a bad way, commit all these sins that we talk about, do all those things. That's where people were. But God demonstrated, God showed His unconditional love for us. In that He came and sent His Son to this earth so that we could be those people that could be saved. I want you to understand today, if you don't understand anything else, before you go to sleep, understand that God is the one that has shown His love for sinners. I've seen people that said, you know, and I've had them to tell me, I'm not righteous. I'm not good enough. Let me tell you something. If it's a matter of good, let's all leave, because we don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve it. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you're an elder or a preacher, a deacon, or who you are. None of us deserve it. So get this idea of deserving out of your mind. What we've got to understand is that God came to this earth, sent His Son to this earth to help us to be able to get to Him. God got down on His knees to us. Now one day, every knee will bow to Him. But the example that God gave to us in His bowing for us, He came down to our level so that we could be raised to His level. Now that's love. That's the love that God has for us. Now, look at this. I could spend the rest of the sermon on that one. Look at this. We need to understand that also God's love was sacrificial. God gave. We didn't deserve the gift. In fact, mankind rejected the gift. Mankind took the gift that God gave them and they hung it on a tree with a crown of thorns on it and spit on Him and slapped Him and made fun of Him and told lies about Him. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody does that to my child, we may not get along real well. But God sent His Son knowing that that was going to happen. He was willing to sacrifice there. Now, I was trying to figure out how do you illustrate this idea of sacrifice? All right, like cars. Fella's got 20 cars and somebody comes up and says, I need a car. And you say, well, I got 20, I'll give him one. Everybody said, boy, that was so noble of you to do that. But you know what a sacrifice is? If you've just got one car, and the fellow comes up and says, I need your car. And you give him the keys and he goes away with it. That's sacrifice. Or it may be like the old story about the chicken and the pig that were going to feed the farmer. And the chicken came up with this idea. Hey, listen, the farmer's so good to us. He feeds us, he takes care of us, he watches over us. Let's fix him breakfast. And the pig said, what do you want to fix? He said, ham and eggs. And the pig thought just a little bit. And he said, you know, it's just going to be a donation for you, but for me it's going to be a sacrifice. We got to learn God sacrificed for us. You know, we talk sometimes about what all we've got to sacrifice, what all we have to give up, what all we have to... We don't even have a concept of what God had to give up to send His Son on this earth. We don't understand the sacrifice that God had to give for us. Now just think about this. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, it talks there about the books that are going to be opened. And people are going to be judged out of those books. And sometimes people get scared when you talk about that. You mean God knows everything I've done? Yeah. And I've got to stand before Him? Yeah. But let me give you a little different picture. We're there, the books are open, and they get down to my name, and they say, Charles Thompson. And God says, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, my Son, said, you take what He owes, and you put it on His account. And you take what He has, and you give it to Charles. Now that's what that is. That's what we're going to receive. That's what God has in mind for us. That's the sacrifice that God's willing to give for us. And we've got to understand that. But not only that, look at this. We've got to understand that the love of God is something that is valuable. He gave what? His Son. He gave something that was so valuable, so important, so necessary for us. And so here, this valuable thing was placed on the line for us to make a payment for us. He was one. He is only. Now, you know, Robert's talking about Jesus Christ and some of the things about Him on Wednesday night. But listen, understand this. God only had how many sons? Boy, y'all are smart as a whip. I'm telling you, y'all are intelligent. You're a lot smarter than you look. Well, let's not go there. He gave His only begotten Son. Somebody says, well, He could get another one. Uh-uh. He said, this is the only one. He did that to show the importance of the sacrifice that was given. He did that so that we see how valuable it was. How valuable the thing that God did for us when we didn't understand it, and maybe we still don't, and we didn't appreciate it. But He gave that valuable thing. Would you give your son for somebody? Would you give your son for somebody that didn't respect you, didn't care for you, that hated you, that would just, whatever they could do to go against you, they were going to do it? Would you give your son for that? I can tell you, I wouldn't do it. And I wouldn't be for him making the decision to do that either. I'd try to talk him out of it. You don't need to do that. Those people don't deserve what you're giving them. They don't deserve that. Maybe you said that to your child sometime. But listen, God sent His valuable gift, the gift that was more valuable than anything else, His only begotten Son. He sent Him here for us that we could be forgiven. Now, look at this. I want you to understand that this was something that was very personal. Personal. It was God giving His Son. Not your son, not somebody else's son, but His Son. This was so personal that it had to go to the heart of everybody. I hope you can see the sacrifice that was there. There was a little boy one day that he was going to quote John 3 and verse 16. And he was talking about the only begotten Son. You know how he translated it? It was the only forgotten Son. What does he mean, forgotten? Let me tell you something. The world forgets about the Son. The world forgets that the Son's there. But you see, what we're supposed to do, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, we're supposed to be those ambassadors. Listen to how he puts this here. We are the ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. What we're to do is to help the world to see how important, how personal this thing was that God did for us. How personal it was. Because, let me tell you, they're going to forget. In fact, we're going to forget too. Why do you think God said, you need to keep studying this? Why do you think God says, what you need to do is you need to come together. And you need to come together and you need to talk about this. You need to talk about God and what God's done for you so that we can remember it. So that we don't forget it. That's something that is so wonderful and great. It's so personable. It's person that we're giving to those people. The person is Jesus Christ. We're helping people to see who He is and understand who He is. We show people who He is by the way we live our lives, by the way we show our lives. Heard of this illustration the other day. This fellow was at a mission. And one day he heard what the preacher was saying and he said, I'm going to change my life. And he did. He stopped drinking. He stopped using bad language. He stopped all the other things. In fact, he started working there to help feed other people and help other people. His name was Joe. And Joe was an example to every one of those fellows that was there. One day the preacher was preaching and a fellow responded and he said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be as good as Joe. And he said, well, don't you mean somebody else? He said, no, I want to be as good as Joe. He said, well, what about Jesus Christ? He said, is He a good fellow too? That's what we got to be. Those ambassadors, those examples to show people what Jesus Christ is. Let me tell you something. You can't quote the Bible to everybody, but you can show them a life that is lived in service to God. You can show it's very personable or personal to you. It's something that's very important. Now, got to keep going or I'm not going to get through. We need to see that God's love is accessible. It's something we can have. Now, I've mentioned already that I've met people that said, Charles, I just don't deserve coming to church. My life is such a mess. My life is so messed up. I can't come down and come to church with those people. I had a lady tell me that one time. She said, I can't come to church. Said, those people down there are better than I am. I said, you just don't know them. You get to know them and you might like them, but some of them you might see they need to do some changing. But you see, this thing here is God is accessible to us. God is able to be reached. I don't care what you have done as a person that lives in the world. God sent His Son for you. God sent His Son so that you could be forgiven of your sins. That's what He wants us to understand. And He was willing to forgive people who crucified His Son. He was willing to forgive people who committed sin, who did all these things. John 14 and verse 15, if you love Me, keep My commandments. He says, what I want you to do is understand that you can reach for Me and I'll be there. Maybe you've had a friend that you put trust in and it didn't work out. Let me tell you something. You put your trust in God, understand His will, and He'll always be there for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never depart from you. Now, you can turn and walk away from Him, but He's always there for you. And see, the thing about it is that we've got to understand if we walk away, He's still there and He still wants to receive us back. God will forgive you of any sin you have ever committed. I don't care what it is. He'll forgive you if you'll repent. So that's the only condition. If you'll repent, He will forgive you. I mean, He's there. God, I'm sorry. And it goes to the throne of God. It goes to the very ear of God. And God's able to see that. God's able to know that. God came down to lift us up. We've already mentioned that. Because of His love for us. And He says, I want you to love Me. I want you to love Me enough that you'll be willing to do what I ask you to do. And we obey. We obey the commands of God not because we have to, but we obey the commands of God because we want to please God. We want to please God with all that He's done for us, for all He's done for us. God's love is unjudgmental. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying here. God is a judge, and He will judge. But He doesn't judge you before the time. He gives you an opportunity to be able to get your life right and to be able to live right. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. In fact, John 3 and verse 16 is a great passage which most people know, but we need to read verse 17 too. Listen to this. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, by Him, should be saved. Do you realize Jesus Christ did not come to this world to condemn anybody to hell? That wasn't His purpose. That wasn't His goal. His goal was so that He could save people. That's what He wants to do. Now, please understand, God will not overlook sin. We need to understand that. There will be a time when everyone will have to give an account for their life. But God's letting this old world exist right now with all the meanness, hardness, and sin in it so that people would see that they needed to change and give them another opportunity, another chance. Listen to what Peter said In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Whatever God says, He's going to do. He'll punish sin. It's going to happen. But look at this. As some would count slackness, some people won't do what they're supposed to do. They don't keep their word. God's going to do that. But He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that every one of them should come to repentance. That's what He wants. I'm going to tell you, there's a different picture of God at the judgment than sometimes preachers have given. They're kind of like, okay, God's there, and He's looking at those people on the left side, and He's saying, you get out of here. I don't want you. I don't like you. And you didn't do what I asked you to do, and you crucified my son, and you did all this, and you did this, and you did... No. Can you imagine God shedding a tear for those that are lost? Can you imagine God's heart aching because people are going to hell? There's no joy there. That's a total foreign picture of God. Here it says He loves us. Here it says He wants to help us. And here He's trying to say, I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to save you. But now please understand, He's going to be the judge, and He's going to make a judgment. But He's giving you every chance He can. How many sermons have you heard? How many times have you heard preachers extend the invitation and you just sit there on the pew knowing what you need to do? Knowing that you need to change. Knowing that you need to repent. Maybe knowing that you need to be immersed in water to have your sins washed and cleansed away. God wants to save. And He's not trying to judge you and condemn you. He wants to be the one that's going to save you. Judgment will be. But the love of God is also there. No one will escape the judgment of God. I don't care who you are. No one will be able to escape the judgment. In Romans, the second chapter in verse 3, listen to this. And do not think this, O man, you who judge these practicing such things, that you that are doing these things and you're practicing such things, and do the same, that you will escape the judgment of God. Nobody's going to get by with sin. Nobody's going to get by with it. Everybody's going to have to give an account. We make a choice. And we make a choice to love God or not to love God. And that's basically what all of Christianity is all about. Do we love God or do we not love God? Now to say I love God but then not do His will, honestly, before God, that's a lie. That's a lie. If you love God, you're going to do what He asks you to do. You're going to do, you have to, because your love is showing how much you care for Him. He's shown how much He cares for you. Even when you were in the worst condition that you could ever be in, He was there for you. And He wants you to be a part of Him. Now, the last one. Boy, y'all didn't think I was going to get this done in time, did you? Am I getting it done? Yeah, I got 10 minutes. Linda says 5 cheats. I thought I had 10. This got cut out of 5 minutes. I set my watch back just a little bit. So I can say, my watch says. Listen to this. God's love is beneficial. All the benefits that God has offered to us. And usually when we talk about that, we think, oh, heaven. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. There are benefits right now. There's a conscience that's clean because we have come to God and we have offered God our lives, and our conscience is clean. Our lives are clean because He's washed us, He's cleansed us, He's made us right. There are benefits not just in heaven. There are benefits right now. The fellowship we have one with another. The idea of people, we can go to somebody and we can talk to them about a problem in our lives, and they're going to try to give us the best answer they can to help us to deal with that. And if we're in trouble, we know we can call on people. In fact, you don't even have to call them. They'll come anyhow. And most of the time, if it's a lady, she's bringing the food. Doing what they can to help. There are benefits, not just in the sky by and by, but we're getting some of them right now. You're getting something right now because you're able to come here and worship God right now. I hope you recognize that as a benefit that's given to you from God because of what God has offered to you. He's blessed you. Now, we've got to understand that we live in a world of problems and trouble. We live in a world of heartache. We live in a world where any of us can get involved in sin. But we live in a world also that every one of us can come to God. Now, I know you remember the story of the tie the yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Wonderful song. Everybody just loved that song. I think people loved it because it showed that there was a way out. You know the story. The young man, not sure if his family wanted him to come back home. And he had written them a letter and said, you know, if you want me to come, then just tie a yellow ribbon around the old tree and I'll see it and then I'll know that you want me to come home. If there's no ribbon there, I won't come home. And he got there and he couldn't even look. He asked somebody else, said, can you look for me? Can you look and see if there's a ribbon around that tree? And when they got there, the person said, you got to look at this. Said, there's not just one ribbon. Said, every limb's got a ribbon on it. Let me tell you something. God is ready to give us forgiveness. If you don't have it, don't blame it on God. It's not His fault. Because He's done everything He can do. He's given you everything possible. He said, I'll wash you, I'll cleanse you, I'll make you whiter than snow. I'll do that for you. And let me tell you something. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what sin you've committed. God will forgive you today. Right now. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to climb a hill. You don't have to pay $1 million. He'll give it to you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, that they should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. People, if you're lost, don't blame God. He's there with open arms. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want to plead with you to become a child of God. I want to plead with you to repent of sins. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, I want you to do that. You just do what those people did in Acts. There they heard it, they believed it, and they acted on that. They repented of their sins. They were immersed in water, believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and He had the power to cleanse them. And they were forgiven of their sins. They were forgiven of their sins. You can have that today. There is not anybody in this building or outside this building that can keep you from having that. And let me tell you something. If you as a Christian have sin in your life, what you need to do is to understand Jesus Christ also died for you. You say, well, I know that. Yeah, you know that. But you need to know, you need to express your love to Him. You need to express your appreciation to Him. Even we as Christians, if we don't repent of our sins, we don't turn from our sins, even as those people that have already contacted the blood of Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. He's going to call us unprofitable servants. So you got a decision to make today too. What are you going to do with that? We sing this song to encourage you, to plead with you, to think about that. And that's all. If we can pray with you and for you, we want to do that. Please come as we stand and as we sing.